If you're familiar with the movie Forrest Gump, you know that one of the major themes in that movie is running. There's this mantra in Forrest Gump, run, Forrest, run. You know, you've got Forrest running at different times in the movie for different reasons. You see Forrest running from bullies at various times in his life. You see him running at one point away from danger in Vietnam, and then you see him running back to save the members of his platoon. You got him running in football. He running across country. And just because he felt like running, there's nothing much to that. So there's not always a deeper meaning there, but sometimes there is. You got Jenny. Jenny, you see Jenny running from her troubles, running from conflict, running from Forrest from time to time, running from her past. There's a lot you can learn about the characters and about the plot when you understand why they're running. Running's a major theme in Forrest Gump. Running's also a major theme in this book of Jonah. And in the first three verses, we are introduced right at the outset to a prophet who is on the run. So look down with me at the text. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. But Jonah rose to flee, to run, to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. It's a book about running, isn't it? And in order to rightly understand this book of Jonah, you have to understand two things. You've got to understand what Jonah was running away from, and you've got to understand why Jonah was running at all. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. I want us to understand what Jonah was running away from. I want to take a closer look at Jonah's mission. We talked a little bit about that last week, and I want to zero in on that a bit. And I want to look exactly what Jonah was called to do and what it was that Jonah was seeing in that sent him running. And then I want us to understand why Jonah was running. What was it about God's call in his life, about his mission for Jonah, that Jonah wasn't willing to face? What was it that God called Jonah to do that sent him packing? And I think the better we understand those two things, the better we're not only going to understand the book of Jonah, but the better we're going to understand ourselves and our tendency to run as well. So let's pray as we begin. Let's ask the Lord to help us not only see Jonah and the reasons for his running, but that the Lord would open our hearts and show us the ways in which we, just like Jonah, do the very same thing. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we, like Jonah, are very much prone to run. And we want to understand Jonah's reasons for running. But Lord, he's a sinner just like us. And there's sin that's common to all mankind that we are part of. And we have our own tendencies to run to our own Tarshish. So help us to see that. Help us to understand this book and how to apply it in our lives. But Lord, in all of these things, help us to see the mercy and grace of a relentless pursuit of us in Jesus Christ. And we pray in his name. Amen. So what was Jonah running from? I want to draw your attention to two things from this passage that Jonah was running from. And the first is this. Jonah was running from his mission. Jonah was running from his mission. And we saw last week that simply stated, Jonah's mission included three things. God says to Jonah, arise, go, and preach. It's a three-point sermon right there. See, there's a precedent for it. That's why we do it. Arise, go, preach. Three things Jonah was called to do. Now, you'd think that that wouldn't be a problem for Jonah. I mean, after all, Jonah was a prophet. That's what Jonah did. Preaching was his job. God called Jonah, I'm sure, on countless occasions to arise and go preach. If you ask a plumber to fix a leak, it's what they do. There's no problem with that. If you ask a prophet to preach, there should be no problem. They preach all the time. So it wasn't the preaching that was unique to Jonah's call here. It was the going. Jonah was accustomed to preaching inside the borders of Israel. But he wasn't accustomed to preaching outside of those borders. But that's precisely what Jonah's mission called him to do. Look back at verse 2. God says to Jonah, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it. Go to Nineveh. Don't just go to this Israelite king or this Israelite town. God says, Jonah, arise and go clear across the way to that pagan great city of Nineveh and preach against it. It's one thing to preach about a lost, wicked pagan city from within the safe confines of your own country, but it's another to preach to that city on its own soil. And that's precisely what God had called Jonah to do. He said, Jonah, go to Nineveh and preach. But what was Jonah's message? What was the content to be of his sermon to the Ninevites? What did God call Jonah to preach? You might be tempted to think from verses 1 and 2 that it was merely a declaration of judgment and nothing more. Look at verse 2. Arise, God says to Jonah, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. And then a little later on in Jonah, we see the message in chapter 3, verse 4. Jonah called out, here's his message, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Now, we might be tempted to look at that and think that all God's doing is telling them about the inevitability of his wrath and judgment upon them for their sin. I don't think that's right. I don't think that sums up God's message to Nineveh. God's message for the Ninevites was not merely a declaration of judgment. It was a warning that judgment would come if the nation didn't repent. In other words, the message promised not only judgment, but also salvation, if the warning is heeded with repentance and faith. In fact, most prophetic pronouncements includes that provision. It's not merely a pronouncement of judgment. Included in that pronouncement is the possibility of repentance and that judgment being satisfied in some other way. So for example, in Jeremiah 18, verses 7 and 8, we read this. If at any time God says, I declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will pluck up and break down and destroy it. So far that sounds a lot like Jonah. But verse 8, and if that nation concerning which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I intended to do to it. Do you hear that? It's mercy through judgment. The warning comes, and for those who by God's grace heed the warning, turn from wickedness, repent and trust in Christ, that judgment is satisfied in some other way. And we know as Christians in the new covenant, looking back to the cross, how that judgment is satisfied. It's satisfied in some other way. It was placed on Christ. Even pronouncements of judgment include a very real possibility of salvation. That was the message that God had for Nineveh. It was meant to put the fear of God in them so that they'd turn from their wickedness and trust Him for forgiveness. I mean, think about it. Why else would God give them 40 days? What's the 40 days? Why didn't He just come and say, tomorrow you're going to get wiped out? God's being patient. God is giving them time. God is giving them opportunities to turn from their ways and trust in him. That was the message that God called Jonah to go and preach to Nineveh. That was Jonah's mission. Jonah was running from that very mission. But it wasn't simply a mission that Jonah was running from, was it? It was much more than that. Jonah was not simply running from God's mission. He was running from God himself. Look down at verse 3. But Jonah rose to flee, to run. From what? Look down. From the presence of the Lord. Not merely an impersonal job description. But he's running from God himself. In fact, the text says it twice. Look at the end of verse 3. He got up and he ran to Tarshish away from the presence of the Lord. It repeats it over and over. Do you notice that? Do you notice how the text is drawing our attention not simply to the mission, but to the master? It's important that we understand that. You see, to run away from God's will is to run away from God himself. To turn from the mission is to turn from the master who gives it. Or if you like, to reject the word of the Lord is to reject the Lord of the word. Defiance is never an impersonal activity. And I think every parent knows that. When you give a command to a child and they rise up in defiance against that command, that speaks more to the child's understanding and relationship to the parent than it does about their disaffection for the command. It speaks volumes to what they think about the parent, how they submit to the parent, how they trust the parent, that the parent would be giving good commands. That's why parents have the responsibility to discipline their children. Not just simply so that they can be in conformity with a command, but so that they will learn how to honor and respect an authority in their life. They're learning to respect and honor the authority of Christ. That's what we do as parents. Defiance is never an impersonal activity. And we see that here in the text. Jonah's running from God's will, but he's running from God himself. And he knew, Jonah knew, that if he was going to get away from God's will, he had to get away from God. So what does he do? Well, he thinks to himself, if I could just get God out of sight and out of mind, if I could just put aside my awareness of his presence in my life, then refusing his will won't be nearly as difficult. And that's exactly what Jonah does. It is much easier for us to turn from God's will when we're not aware of his presence. Isn't that true? I mean, think about it for a second. How would your behavior, how would your thoughts, how would your speech, how would your decisions have been different this past week if you had been keenly aware of the presence of God in your life? What wouldn't you have looked at this week if you were aware of God's presence with you? What wouldn't you have said if you had been aware of God's presence? What would you have said differently to a spouse or to your children or to a friend? Or positively, what conversation would you have pursued? What decision would you have made differently if you had been thinking about and were keenly aware of the presence of an all-holy God in your life? For some of us, maybe it was decisions that we did make because we were aware of the presence of God in our lives. But for others, we can think back on specific things that if only we had been thinking about the reality of God with me at every moment, a presence that I can't get away from, oh, how that would change our thinking, how it would change our speech, how it would change our very lives. When we're aware of God's presence. Jonah like each and every one of us, wasn't simply running from God's commands, or God's mission. Jonah was running from God himself. We're all in that boat, aren't we? But now here's the big question. We know what Jonah was running away from, but why? Why was Jonah running? What was it about this mission God gave him that just left a bad taste in his mouth? That led Jonah to conclude, well, my best option here is to flee. Why did Jonah run? Well, first of all, let's just be clear that that's precisely what Jonah did. Jonah ran. Jonah's hometown was in Gath Hepher, and that's close to the Sea of Galilee, okay? Not that far from Nazareth. And God called Jonah to leave that place and go to Nineveh. Nineveh, geographically, was northeast of Jonah's hometown, northeast of Israel. Not only does Jonah refuse to go to Nineveh, he gets up and he goes in the 180-degree opposite direction. Look at verse 3. Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish. He paid the fare. He went on board to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. Instead of Jonah going northeast to Nineveh, he went southwest to Joppa, and he got on a boat that literally took him the furthest place that he could get from Nineveh. Due west to Tarshish. We don't know exactly where it was. We know at the very least it was the complete opposite direction of where God told him to go. It'd be like getting a call to go to the Outer Banks in North Carolina and instead going to Columbus and taking the first plane to California. That's what Jonah did. So this was no accident. He didn't accidentally take a wrong turn at Nineveh, or at Nazareth, not going to Nineveh. Jonah knew exactly what he was doing. It may have been 50 miles for him to get from his hometown to Joppa. He had a long time to think about the decision that he was making. But why? Why did he do it? Why did he run? Well, when we ask questions of a text like that, and there's not a clear answer in verses 1 through 3, what we have to do is we have to let Scripture interpret Scripture. We have to read verses 1 through 3 in light of the whole book of Jonah. When we do that, we get a very clear answer from Jonah himself as to why he ran. Go to the end of chapter 3. Jonah tells us exactly why he ran. Look at verse 10. This is after Jonah finally goes and preaches to Nineveh. God shows mercy when he sees their repentance. In verse 10, when God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said that he would do to them, and he did not do it. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. Now look at verse 2 of chapter 4. And he prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. Jonah tells us why he ran. That's a shocking answer, isn't it? It's a shocking answer from any Christian, but especially from a prophet like this. Jonah ran because he knew that God might just use his preaching to save Ninevites. That's why he ran. He understood that his preaching included the possibility of Nineveh's salvation. And frankly, he didn't want anything to do with that. Jonah did not want to see Nineveh receive the mercy of God. And he certainly didn't want to be part of the means by which God used to give them his mercy. Now, why on earth would any Christian, especially a prophet, have a problem with somebody receiving God's mercy? Well, on the surface, there's probably a number of reasons. I mean, I'm sure Jonah, as a sinner, had racism in his heart, had nationalism in his heart for Israel. I'm sure those are surface reasons. But let me tell you what, the fundamental reason why Jonah had a problem with saving the Ninevites is this. He took his eyes off the gospel. He took his eyes off the gospel. Jonah didn't think that the Ninevites deserved God's mercy. He thought they were far too evil. And you got to understand, Assyria at this time was already a problem for Israel. God says that they were a wicked and evil people. They had heinous practices. For various reasons, Jonah didn't want anything to do with them. They were too evil, too wicked, too far gone to receive God's forgiveness. He thought all they deserved for their depravity was God's just condemnation. The irony is this. Jonah was right about that. But he was at the same time so wrong about it. He was absolutely right to think that the Ninevites deserved God's wrath. That they were a wicked people, totally deserving of God's judgment. He was absolutely right about that. But he was dead wrong in thinking that he was exempt from that. He thought they were totally undeserving of God's grace, but he thought that he was. Grace, by definition, is undeserved. Jonah forgot about that. He took his eyes off that. He slipped into the thinking that because they were so heinous and wicked in their sin, that they were beyond the scope of God's forgiveness. He was looking at their sin, but he refused to see his own sin. He missed the fact that he was wicked, that his heart had evil in it, that he was a sinner too. He forgot that he, along with every other Israelite, was a sinner too. He too had turned from the Lord. He too deserved God's just judgment. He too was totally undeserving of grace. And the irony is this. The whole time Jonah is demanding that God withhold mercy from the Ninevites and punish them for their sins, he misses the fact that God has withheld punishment for him this whole time and given him nothing but mercy. He took his eyes off the gospel. And that's all it took. When he took his eyes off the gospel, he took his eyes off his own need for repentance, his own need for forgiveness. Jonah forgot that our acceptance with God isn't owing to who we are or what we've done or what people we belong to, what church we attend, what life we've tried to live. It's owing to one thing and one thing only. The sheer, undeserved grace and mercy of God. Jonah lost sight of his own self-righteousness. And he lost sight of his need to hear the gospel himself. And if Jonah wasn't preaching the gospel to his own heart, you can bet he wasn't going to be going and preaching the gospel to anybody else. That's why Jonah ran. Jonah ran because he took his eyes off the gospel. He forgot what grace was all about. And here's the lesson for us this morning. If that can happen to a prophet in Israel, brothers and sisters, that can happen to you and me too. And it does. We're no different than Jonah. That's why Jonah ran. And friends, that's why we run. And oh, how easy it is for us to forget the gospel. It's so easy for us to take our eyes off of what mercy is, to lose sight of who we are as sinners, to give ourselves more credit than we deserve, to think somehow the relationship we have with God is our right, to look at other people's sins and to look down on them. That's why we had, for our statement of grace, Paul's statement that he is the chief among sinners. Can you say that about yourself? Can you say truly that you are the worst sinner that you know? You know your sin better than anybody else. I know my sin better than I know anybody else's sin. And so I am, in my own mind, the chief among sinners. And so are you. You know your sins through and through. But when you take your eyes off of that, when you begin to think you're not that bad, you lose complete sight of your need for forgiveness. And it's very, very easy for you to look at other people who sin and to relegate them in the category of beyond the scope of grace. That's why Jonah ran, and brothers and sisters, that's why you and I run. The more we lose sight of the gospel, the more ports like Joppa are going to find appealing to us. The more we're going to find those ports of escape appealing. And let me just make an aside here. When you lose sight of the gospel and you go looking for a ship heading away from the presence of the Lord, can I tell you what? Satan will always have a boat ready for you. He will be more than happy to provide transportation when you're heading away from God and His will for your life. He'll be glad to have a boat waiting for you. Oh, you'll pay the fare, but he'll have that boat ready. But listen, here's the good news for Jonah. We're going to talk more about this next time. God doesn't let his prophet run very far, does he? Verse 4 says, God intervenes. God overrules. God steps in and he shuts it down. God steps in and he begins relentlessly pursuing Jonah and brings him back. And the rest of the book is all about God's pursuit of Jonah. Going after his running prophet and bringing him back to his grace. God is on a relentless pursuit of Jonah's heart for the gospel throughout the book of Jonah. That's the good news for Jonah. But you know what? That's good news for us too. God is doing the very same thing for sinners like us. When we go wandering away from the Lord, and we know that hymn that we love to sing, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it for thy courts above. You know what? God knows your wandering tendencies. God has known it from all eternity. That's why God sealed your heart with the Holy Spirit who protects you and preserves you through the Christian life. And the very same grace we see God extending to Jonah in bringing him back to himself is the very same grace that we enjoy as Christians this morning. So let me just ask you, are you on the run like Jonah today? Have you forgotten the presence of the Lord in your life? Have you taken your eyes off the gospel? Where is your Tarshish? What boat are you on? What direction are you heading? The good news of the gospel is this. Even when we take our eyes off the gospel, God doesn't take his eyes off of us. And he will keep us, but he will bring us to repentance. That's what we're going to see God doing in Jonah's life, just as he did in the Ninevites. So I want you to think about this coming week. As you head into decisions, as you head into relationships and conversations, and opportunities. As you go to different ports of call and have different opportunities to take different boats, would you remember the presence of the Lord in your life? And would you keep your eyes focused on the gospel of Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Oh Lord, we are a people so prone to wonder. And it's irrational, it's foolish to think that we could escape the presence of an all-present God, to take our eyes off the greatest treasure this world has ever seen or will ever see in the gospel of Jesus Christ, to think that there's something else out there more satisfying, another direction that's better for us to go. Lord, we are prone to wonder, so guard us. Remind us of our need to focus on the gospel this morning. Help us to think about Jonah this week and the ways in which you pursued him. And Lord, keep us close to the cross. We pray for Jesus' sake alone. Amen.